Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. It's the final day of the UK British flat season. It's Champions Day at Ascot this Saturday, live on ITV. Six excellent races to get stuck into on what could be Frankie's final day on a UK racecourse. We're still yet to find out whether that's going to be the truth. But I'm joined by an excellent panel of guests this week to preview the action. Graham Robway and Tom Park. Gerard, I'll start with you. It's the end of the British flat season. We're hoping to see all these top quality horses. We've got top quality fields, but not top quality weather this weekend.
No, it's meant to absolutely hammer it down, isn't it, Sam? So it should be interesting, to say the least. Are they going to move the meeting on the round course to the inside track or the outside track? When they moved it to the inside track 4 years ago, the ground was good to soft on the inside and soft on the main course. So it certainly won't be heavy if they do move it. But I'm hoping they don't, to be honest, Sam, because most of my bets are based on the premise that we're going to get really testing ground. So I think in the middle of October at Ascot, it's fair to expect that, is it not?
Absolutely. We'll hear from G-Rod in a bit about his selections and what horses are going to be appreciating the soft conditions. And we've got Tom Park on the show. And Park, it's great to get your opinions on Champions Day this weekend. But I also want to, we've got the big jump off coming out on Monday. Be good to give a bit of a plug for that if you can.
Yeah, quite timely, given that it's about to book it down. Jumps trainers will be, they'll be rubbing their hands together. This is proper jumps weather on Champions Day. But yeah, the big jump off's out on Monday. Make sure you grab yourselves a copy. It's packed full of insight from all our top tipsters, including Mr. Rodway, who's obviously on with us, but we've got Pricewise and Mr. Keeley. We've got an interview with Paul Nichols, Johnny Deneen, David Jennings, all your big names. Look, it's a fantastic addition. Gets your blood pumping for the jump season. And there were some good winners in there last year. So, yeah, fingers crossed we'll have a few more. So, yeah, grab yourselves a copy. It's free in the Racing Post on Monday. And you can also, if you miss out on that, you can buy it as a standalone. It'll be available in all good news agents, I think, is how you're meant to say it these days. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be grabbing a copy on Monday. Really looking forward to that. And we also have the video show coming out Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, where you can hear the thoughts of Paul Keeley, Dave Orton, Tom Siegel and Johnny Deneen. So Sunday at 6 o'clock for that. But definitely worth getting your hands on a copy of the big jump off on Monday. Let's get into the action then. Just quickly, we've got to try and put something together here because a gentleman in the comments last week wanted an each way lucky 31 for last week. And I couldn't get it for him last weekend, but we can try and put something together if we can this weekend. So we start off with the 115, which is the Kipco British Champions Long Distance Cup over 2 miles, where Kyprios has been well supported over the last few weeks. Is the 11-8 favourite. True Shan is 2-1. Coltrane 15-2. Sweet William is 10-1. Trawlerman is 20-1. Broom 40s, and Stratum and Maxton are around 100-1. Start with you then, Parky. Kyprios, very well supported after obviously coming back in the Irish St. Ledger, finishing second behind Eldar Eldroff. Is this too short a price, or are we going to see the real Kyprios turn up on Saturday?
Is it too short a price? I think he probably is a little bit short. Look, his comeback was all right. He did kind of what he needed to do. We all knew, we knew he would come on for it. It's hard to say, would you have liked to see him a little bit more, because he is where he is. They're obviously happy with him because, look, he's been really well supported in the bet and he seems to be shortening all the time. I just think True Shan, he's got the proven form in the book this season. Like, he obviously lost his way a little bit. Credit to Alan King. I mean, he was talking about potentially going hurdling with him. But they've obviously found his spark again, because I thought he was gone at the game, I'll be honest. And he's been really good on his last two starts. He's got his ground. I just think he's going to be really, really hard not to crack. And yeah, if Kyprios returns into the form that he was in last year, yeah, of course he's going to be tough to beat. But I just like True Shan here. I think, look, he's won the race. Has he run it 3 times before? So he's gone for a 4th time in the race. That's incredible. Yeah, True Shan for me, I think.
Okay, True Shan 2-1. Holly Doyle aboard. Graham Robway, who do you like in this one?
I think it's a good race for a bet, Sam, because I don't think you can bet Kyprios at the price unless, you know, something that the rest of us don't. I mean, you know, he was very, very good last season, but no doubt about it, he was well below par first time out when he returned. At the Curra there, he was thrashed by Eldarov. And let's not forget that he was quite strong in the market that day, and he had quite a good record fresh before that. I think he'd won every single time he'd come to the track first time up. So I thought on the face of it, it was very disappointing how easily he was beaten by Eldarov that day. Obviously, if he runs to the form that he showed when he won the Irish Ledger last year, or that ridiculous race where he won by a mile long shot, then he's going to win, isn't he? But how can you back him at sub 2-1 after so long off and what, in my opinion, was quite a lackluster first run? I mean, Trushan's the obvious horse against him. He likes the ground. He's won it 3 times. He looks like he's back to form, but I don't think he had to be anywhere near his best to win his last 2 starts at Donny. I mean, the Grand Vizier was really close up to him when he was winning at Doncaster 2 starts ago, which I thought held that form down a little bit. And last time out, Emily Dickinson was the only horse who looked like she could beat him. And she just ran no sort of race and finished last at Longchamp, and he was left to beat a huge outsider, Moon Wolf. So, albeit he did it easily, I just don't think that he's had to be anywhere near his best. And I don't think he's had a proper test in his last 2 starts, despite looking like he's come back to form. So couldn't have him at the price either. So I think Coltrane's a massive price. He runs this track really well. He's won here twice. He's finished second here twice. He was second to Trushan last year in this race. He looked like he had him in trouble coming to final furlong, and Trushan just outstayed him. There wasn't that much between them. We know that Coltrane's improved a lot this season. He's a much better horse this season than he was last season. And he was a short price to win that race that Trushan won at Doncaster last time on soft ground. He just ran no sort of race, but I don't think they went any sort of gallop, and they didn't go fast enough for him. Don't think it suited him. I think he handles soft ground, and he's just the wrong price. So Coltrane for me, Sam.
Okay, Coltrane for G-Rod. Yeah, that could be one for the each way. Lucky 31 for the gent in the comments last week. If you are enjoying the shows, by the way, do get involved in the comments. I've been reading plenty, replying to a few, and do give the video a like. See if we can get the video to over 100 likes this week. Let's move on then to the 150 at Ascot, which is the 6 furlong Kipco British Champion Sprint Stakes. Another Group 1 here. This is over 6 furlongs, and Kinross tops the market at 7-4. The Dream, now this horse has been absolutely smashed in the market, is 13-2. Millstream is 8-1. Sondrine is 17-2. Rohan and Spycatcher 12-1. 16s and bigger the rest in here. Graham Robway, this is Frankie's big swan song on Saturday, or from what we know it's going to be in Britain. He's got Kinross here, who was what you'd probably say unlucky out in Longchamp last time out. 7-4 favourite, but there are plenty of other mudlarks in here who will like these conditions.
Yeah, there definitely are. Yeah, he's obviously the one to beat again, isn't he, Badream? He looked really good, didn't he, when he won for the second time at York on quick ground, but we know he loves really really soft ground, he's right at the top of the game, and I think the horse that beats Kinross will win, but I couldn't back him at a short price. Like you say, there's absolutely bundles of horses in this race that are big old prices that could improve past him. Let's not forget he is 6. And I think that the piece of form to be with is the Sprint Cup at Haydock. I thought it was a very good race, and they ran in a really good time that day. And there's 3 horses who ran in that who were all reopposed here. Believing was 3rd, Swing Along was 4th, and Millstream was 6th. And I think that Millstream might be able to reverse the form with the other two. I think the ground was probably a bit quicker than Millstream once at Haydock. But nevertheless, if you look at the sectional times, posted 2 back-to-back really fast furlongs in the middle part of the race. And I think they just probably went a little bit too hard too soon. I think coming back to soft ground will suit Millstream. But it'd be the one for me, Millstream. But I certainly wouldn't put you off Believing or Swing Along as well. I think they could both run well at big prices. But I'm hoping Millstream will reverse the places with those two here.
Okay, Millstream, yeah, 8-1 currently, but the Sprint Cup seems the way to go with regards to form. I've got a real interest in the Dream here. I know this horse was much bigger early in the week, but once the rain come down, this horse has shortened. But this horse, right at the start of the season, on Lincoln Day, actually, won the Camage at Doncaster on heavy going in really impressive style. And then the only other time running on soft ground was actually in the Palace House Stakes at Newmarket in a Group 3 there, where it came up soft and finished ahead of Living Your Dream that day, who ended up going on to win in Nunthorpe. So this horse shows really good form. I've got a feeling we could see a big run. I was quite impressed by the prep run, actually, at Ascot last time out for this horse. Charlie Fellows loves having Ascot winners, and I think 13-2, I still might have a bet on this horse. Tom Park, who did you like in this?
I like one at a really, really big price here. Makarova for Ed Walker. She improved for dropping back to five furlongs. If you look at her form, literally, she dropped back to five furlongs from six, and she's started to really improve. I'm going to take a chance that she is just going through a spell where she's really enjoying her racing, and that is more the reason for improvement, because if you watch every time she races over five furlongs, she looks like she wants at least six. She ran a really good race in the Nunthorpe, finished fourth. Again, in the Abbey Longchamp the other week, she finished sixth. She's a good group one form there. She's 40 to 1. That's a massive, massive price in a race that looks pretty wide open. She's dead consistent. And as I said, I really think that there could be some improvement here for her stepping up to six furlongs. She raced pretty much solely over six furlongs, but she raced as over seven as a two-year-old. So yeah, I think she's going to improve. And that group one form over five furlongs really puts her in the mix here. And there's an each way bet 40 to 1. And she's massive.
Okay, Makarova 40 to 1 for Parky there. G-Rod with Millstream, and I'm going to have a chance on the Dream in the Sprint Stakes. The final race we look at in part one of our preview here is the 225 at Ascot, which is the Kipco British Champions Fillies and Mares Stakes, a Group 1 over a mile and a half here, where Free Wind is topping the market once again for Frankie Dettori at 100 to 30. Jackie O for the Aidan O'Brien team 4 to 1. Timelock is 11 to above the curve, and Blue Stocking 10 to 1, 12 to 1 about the French raider Rue Boissonnette and Sweet Memories of 14's Bar. Tom Park, is this going to be another Frankie winner, or have we got to be taking this on?
Possibly. I don't have an overly strong opinion on this race. I think Free Wind, oh look, her form's in the book in this kind of race, but she's been a bit hit and miss this season. I don't know if you could trust her. But a price is probably fair. I think that'll probably shorten given the Frankie factor. Look, it's Champions Day. I will have a play in the race. I'll take a chance, a big price each way on Running Lion. But she was expected the big things this year. I just can't get over how distraught Usheen Murphy was when she was pulled out of the Oaks. He obviously thought that she was the real deal, and I just got a sneaky feeling, look, she's not looked the horse that we thought she was in the last few starts. But I have got a sneaky feeling that she's much better than that. Not sure it's the strongest of races. And at 20 to 1 for a trainer who's won this race plenty of times, I'm going to take an each-way chance on Running Lion.
Okay, the other John and Fady Godson horse, they're Running Lion. 20 to 1, Oshie Murphy aboard. Like Parky says, Graham Robway, I had to look at this and looked for anything that would love heavy ground in here. And it could be a very good day for the French. I'm not saying that with my pocket, but I'm also saying it in my head. But Royal Brassonette's really fascinating here with Gerard Mosse on board. Actually won on heavy ground at the start of the season at Saint-Cloud and ran a mighty race on what was described as good to soft at Longchamp for the Royal Year there. And it was definitely quicker than that. Chris Cook did an excellent piece on that. But that was a good fourth behind Sea Silk Road. And coming back on heavy ground, I think the French are really going to appreciate these conditions come Saturday. So I'll take a chance each way on that. Who did you like?
You know, Sam, I think a lot depends here on which track they run the race on. I think if they run it on the normal track and it is heavy going, I think your French horse got a massive chance. Rue Boissonnette. She was a massive eye-catcher in that pre-Royal O behind Sea Silk Road. Now, she wouldn't have beat the winner because she was impressive, but she would definitely have finished second with a clear run. And she came from stone last that day. And her previous run is absolutely red-hot form, isn't it? She was behind Warm Heart, Sea Silk Road again, and Blue Rose Sen was fifth. So, that is absolutely top-notch form. And if it's really heavy and they run on the outside track, then I think that the French horse is the one to beat. But if they run on the inside track, I like Blue Stocking. I think she wants a little bit of cut in the ground without it being really, really deep. And I think she'll get it if it's good to soft, maybe just on the soft side on the inside track. She was beaten by Al Karim last time out, but she travelled all over him, looked like she was going to win, and then you know what Al Karim's like, he don't give up, and he just battled back and beat her off. But, she's running any number of Group 1s this year, ran superbly well against Save the Last Dance on soft ground in Ireland. She's a real Group 1 filly. running in. I know it's a Group 1, but I don't think there are that many Group 1 fillies in it, personally. So they're the two against the field. Blue Stocking, if they run it on the inside track. But if it's really, really deep and heavy ground, then I'm with you on Rue Boissonnet.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I think that's the pronunciation. I'll struggle just as much as you with that one, Giro, to be totally honest. When do you, just out of interest, Giro, when do you think as punters should know, like, when they're going to switch the tracks? Because we found out today it's going to be 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Do you think we should be told a lot earlier with regards to something like this if we are to sort of have plays on the races?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's vital, isn't it, then knowing what the ground's going to be like. So I think we should know earlier. And I'm quite hopeful that Ascot won't leave it quite that late. I mean, surely they will make a decision before end of play Friday night anyway. Be very disappointed if I'm still going to bed on Friday night thinking, you know, is it going to be heavy or is it going to be good to soft? It's a huge difference, Sam, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. We're going to be getting stuck into the final three races, but before then, do check out the Members Club offer. You can see it at the bottom bar there, 50% off your first 3 months using the code WELCOME2023, and this is what you could get. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Sam Hart, Graham Robway and Tom Park taking you through Saturday's action on Champions Day at Ascot. We move on now to the 3:05 there, which is the QE2 Stakes, the Queen Elizabeth the second Stakes over a mile, another Group 1 contest here. Paddington tops the market at 6-4. Tahira's 9-2. Who knows whether we'll see her run this weekend. Nashua's 5-1. Big Rock is 7-1. Chaldean's 11-1, 14-1 about Factor Cheval, and 22-1, and bigger the rest. I don't really want to go too much into French form here, so I'll let you gentlemen talk first. But Graham Robway, who did you like in the QE2 this year?
Yeah, I want to be against Paddington, Sam. I think that he's a very short price in a red-hot race after a very hard season. And Aidan O'Brien tends to do this with his horses. He does like to run them, which is great, obviously, for the racing fans. But not all of the three-year-olds hold their form right at the back end of the season. What was that all snowfall, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, ended up getting beat, you know, looked like a world beater in the middle of the summer and then ended up getting beaten at short odds in the fillies race here, I think. And I'm quite, well, I can't say confident, but I'm fairly hopeful that Paddington will get beat here and he'll make the market for a bet on something else. I've backed Big Rock already at much bigger odds than he is now because I think that heavy ground's really going to suit him. He's a very strong stayer over a mile. A stiff mile at Ascot should be absolutely perfect for him. And I could see him grinding them into submission from the front. And it will be heavy ground because they're not going to change the straight course races, are they? So He's the horse that I've backed and I think a win. But Tahira's a ridiculous price if she's allowed to take a chance, isn't she? I mean, I priced this race up at the start of the week and made Paddington 2-1 and Tahira 5-2. You know, and Paddington's now, what, 6-4 and Tahira's nearly 5-1. You know, so purely because Dermot Weld says she don't like soft ground. But she pulled 7.5 lengths clear of the rest in the Guineas on soft ground. She won the Moigler last year on soft ground. So she goes through soft ground fine. And she is absolute top class horse on all the form that we've seen. And Weld himself said that she was a lot heavier than when she had won her previous start last time after a break at the Curragh. So I think she's going to improve significantly for that run. I mean, if she runs and she's going off 9-2, 5-1, I'll back her as well, Sam. But Big Rock for me.
Absolutely. I agree with you there in terms of Tahira. Like, this could be a fairly big price. Weld won't run this horse for hell of it. If this horse runs, it's going to have a chance. So, yeah, look, 9-2 is a fair enough price. And you've backed Big Rock. I would not be putting anyone off Big Rock at all here. I mean, this horse looks so good at the start of the season. Look at the horses that have beaten this horse. It was beaten by Ace Impact, who's gone on to win an Arc in the Prix de Jockey Club, then was beaten by Inspira, who's won a Group 1 by 5-plus lengths after that. And you can say the last performance was a bit disappointing in the Moulin behind Saturn, but I would say that this horse probably didn't get the best of rides that day, probably didn't go hard enough. What you've got to remember with Big Rock is he's going to hit the front, and he's going to make this a test for a lot of these in here, and they are going to come off the bridle one by one. It's just whether a couple of these can pass him. He will love the heavy ground. Christopher Head did text me, well, I texted him midweek saying, what do you think of the ground? And all I got back was a massive thumbs up. So he's obviously quite confident with the rain coming. He probably wants more of it. So I don't think 7-1 is still the worst price in the world. I know, Graham, you put him up bigger prices early in the week. I've been on at bigger prices as well. But yeah, he at the half furlong pole, I think he's going to be leading. It's just whether anything can pass him on the day. Parkey, you know how much I've been going on about Big Rock to you. I don't know whether you're going to fancy him now or whether you're going to be put off by me.
Yeah, there's three smiling faces, I think, all here, because we're all on Big Rock at big prices. Yeah, I'm on Big Rock at big price as well. And I pretty much agree with everything you guys have said. I think he's an absolutely stonking bet here. Even at 7-1, I think he's just as good as the top 2 3-year-olds in the race. He is going to absolutely love these conditions. I mean, when we were discussing it last week, we had no idea whether the ground was going to be quick, slow, or whatever. And I'd have still probably fancied him on quicker ground. But on this kind of ground, half this field are going to be beaten by 4 furlongs. Mm. I'm not convinced Paddington really wants this ground. I know he won at Glorious Goodwood in similar conditions. That was a really funny race, and he was hardly mega impressive. Albeit he's likeable the kind of way that he goes about his races, but he isn't going to be able to get away with that with Big Rock. I mean, if they were moaning about Frankie going off with Fen Spiral at the top of the hill, wait until they get behind Big Rock. He's going to be going as hard as anything. I think he's an absolute certainty to finish in the top three. He's shown a tendency his last few starts to just get beaten by one. But if you look at the horses that have actually beaten him, it's top form. I mean, he looked like he had Ace Impact in all sorts of trouble until he took off like an aeroplane, but it turns out that he actually was an aeroplane. So, yeah, I think Big Rock is a really, really good bet here. Really good bet. And I would agree with G-Rod. Tahira's probably the one that I would fear the most and is a big price as well. But Paddington's made up the market. You've got to get involved, whatever you fancy, if you're wanting to take him on.
Absolutely. I mean, if people are watching, if they actually think Paddington is a really good bet, then again, I'll go back to French form, but you've got to be taking Factor Cheval as well at 14-1, who was second on soft ground at Glorious Goodwood, as you mentioned there, Parky. On soft ground, the horse bumped out the stalls, was keen all the way and didn't get the clearest of runs, was never going to beat Paddington, but would have finished a lot closer. And the difference in prices between the two are massive. So if you like Paddington in the race and think he's a good bet, then I'd solidly recommend an each-way bet on Factor Cheval as well in the race. So
I'll tell you who I'm most worried about, Sam, here. Nashua.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned her. I was going to say, she's dropped back to the mile. I mean, she could have gone for the Champion Stakes all this race, and we found out that she's dropped back this morning. What did you make of that, Jira?
Yeah, she should have won the Irish Champion Stakes. She was given an awful ride, in my opinion, by Holly. I mean, I love Holly, but she was well off the pace that day. And Nashua produced an amazing finishing effort to get so close to, what, two very good horses in Auguste Rodin and Luxembourg. Yeah, and we know that she's good over a mile on soft ground. And yeah, if there's going to be a horse that I don't want to see coming up behind Big Rock with half a furlong to go, it's Nashua, Sam, because I think that she's got the turn of foot to go and catch Big Rock. But yeah, I'm worried about that, but I'm hoping, like all of us, that Big Rock will outstay her.
Yeah, it's not just the turn of foot with Nashua, it's also the fact that she stays, and if Big Rock makes it staying contest, you know, she's going to be there at the finish. Yeah, look, it's a really good race, and actually one of the races that I'm looking forward to, probably the best race I'm looking forward to on the day on Saturday. So that is the QE2, but a big vote for Big Rock in the QE2 on Saturday. Let's move on to what's considered the highlight there at Ascot on Saturday. It's the 3:45, the Kipco Champion Stakes, over 10 furlongs. Another Group 1 contest where the French have the favourite again here. Horizon Door is 11-4 favourite of Miguel Barcelona aboard. King of Steel, Frankie's last ever ride in the UK. We'll see. 4-1. Bay Bridge is 9-2. Mostadaf, I can't see him turning up, but he's 7-1. Via Sistina is 8-1. My Prospero is 12-1. Raw Rhyme 14-1. Dubai on the 28th. And 66-1 about Aidan O'Brien's runner, Point Lonsdale. The winning connections of a couple of years ago of Seal Away, Horizon Door here with Miguel Barcelona. Different train this time around. Patrice Cottier trains the horse. 4 from 4. Won the Prix Dollar last time out. As easy as he liked. Speaking to Paul Keeley yesterday, G-Rod, I mentioned this horse and he said he's probably one of the worst price horses on the card. I don't know whether he did that to try and make me smile, but I completely disagree with him. What do you make of this market?
I think he's a really good authorising door. I think, but I do think he's fast. You know, he ran two really fast sectionals over in France. You think he threw in a 10.6 second furlong at one stage, which, you know, some of those six furlong sprinters earlier on the card would be lucky to get close to. So the point being with him, I know he's a French horse and he's got form on testing ground, but I think that he's quick. I don't think that he's a slow French horse, and I don't think he's a stayer. I think that he's a real speed horse. So I'm not sure that he wants really, really heavy ground. Big Rock absolutely thrashed him on heavy ground earlier in the season at Chanty. And, of course, when he won the Prix de l'Heure at Longchamp, although it says good to soft there, like we've said already, it was fast ground that day. So again, if they move this to the inner course, I'd be more confident about Horizon Door, but I don't think he wants an absolute bog, Sam. That would be my view on the favourite.
Okay, so who are you going to take this horse on with?
I like a few. I mean, Baybridge ran a huge race in the Arc and loves soft ground, and the more of a test it becomes, he'll be suited by it. But I think the bookmaker's got his price about right. The one that I just keeps coming back to, I know he's got to improve loads, but I do think Royal Rhyme is a very good horse, and I think that he could well improve in this better race. Last time at Ayr, when he won there, I backed Pride of America, and Pride of America is a very, very, very tough horse to pass. I can tell you that. I mean, go back and watch his John Smith's Cup win, and Pride of America's got about 20 horses on his tail, and he just fends them all off. Well, Royal Rhyme was about six or seven lengths behind him, turning for home at Ayr last time. But he cut him down with absolutely no bother at all and went past him like he was standing still. And Pride of America was miles clear of the rest. I just thought that looked like a top, top draw performance from Royal Rhyme. He likes soft ground. And his last two runs, I know he's been running in much weaker races, but he ran the quickest third furlong, the quickest second furlong, and the quickest last furlong at Goodwood when he won, and he did exactly the same last time. So, like, he isn't just winning, he's well on top of these horses at the finish. I've got no doubt he's a Group 1 horse, and he's improving rapidly. He's lightly raced, and I think he could go under the radar. So Royal Rhyme's the one for me, Sam.
Okay, Royal Rhyme, yeah, put up by Antipost, and price-wise as well, I believe it's 66-1, I'm pretty sure, Royal Rhyme for this race. So yeah, look, a bit of confidence behind him. Tom Park, where are you in this race?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Royal Rhyme. I probably will have to have a save on, because he was last off my shortlist. Absolutely agree with what you said about his run at Ayr. I was dead impressed that day with where he kind of collared back a very good front run. As you said, that horse had all sorts of... They were all in trouble at York. So the fact that he kind of went on and passed him so easily, it was quite impressive to watch. I am going to take on the favourite here. King of Steel, I love King of Steel, but I've just got a sneaky feeling that this is not the kind of ground that he wants. His worst performance, and you could argue he was nowhere near the horse that he is now then, was on heavy ground in the Verton Futurity last year. And I'm happy to take him on as well. The one I'm going to side with is Via Sistina. I just don't think she's done anything wrong this year. She ran a little bit of a poor race when sent off a short price at Newmarket, but this is much more her trip. I think she liked cutting the ground. I can't get that performance when she beat Al Houston at Newmarket, which is at the very start of the season, had me really excited. And I know she won the Pretty Polly on her next start. So she's got that Group 1 form in the bag. But I think this is what she's kind of been primed for, a big autumn target. I like the way that she was beaten by a very good French horse last time, who ran a good race against Inspiral last week. Look, she liked the ground, trips ideal. She's got a really good turn of foot, and I can just see her travelling, and yeah, kicking on. I think this looks a good race for her. I think each way you're getting, what is it, 9 runners? Yeah, 8-1's a fair bet each way, I think.
Okay, 8-1 Via Sistina for Parky there. I think people know by now that, look, if the French have a good day, I might end up in France on Saturday night after racing. But this Horizon Door, I mean, you mentioned there, G-Rod, about the second behind Big Rock on heavy going, but one thing I will say about this horse as a three-year-old, he's a rapidly improving three-year-old. Like, during this season, the RPRs this horse has been putting up have just been rocketing up. I think we've actually haven't seen the best of this horse as of yet, and I'm quite excited to see what we can see from him next season. I think he'll actually be even better next season than the horse to beat in most of the middle distance divisions across Europe. But I think he's a superb bet in here. I mean, I looked at the paper this morning. First thing I read on there was Horizon Team unfazed by likely testing going at Ascot. That's enough for me. I'm going to be sticking to my guns, and I'm going to be with Horizon Door in the Champion Stakes. And Miguel Barcelona, once again, he did me a favour a couple of years ago with Seedoy. Hopefully he can do it again at the weekend. Final race we look at is the Balmoral Handicap over a mile. It's a Class 2 handicap. It gets difficult here, lads, where Docklands tops the market at 6-1. Sunny Liston, 7-1. 8-1 about Baradar and Migration. Alma Beer is 12-1. A Wow and Roscollin 14s. And 16s bar those. Few of these interested me actually towards the top of the market. Sunny Liston's got to be one of the most unlucky horses in training this season, deserves to win one of these big handicaps. And the fascinating one is the Lincoln winner, who's obviously had this race in mind for a long time. The top weight Migration, who won the Lincoln, has only run once since, but gets the same conditions that he had in the Lincoln and comes here fairly fresh. And 8-1 might not be the worst price in the world for the David Menuzia team that all seem to love soft ground. Parky, where did you head in this one?
Yeah, I like Sonny Liston too. I do feel like half the reason why he kind of keeps getting beat is because I keep backing him, but I'll be backing him again. He's just been rock solid this year. He seems to be getting better, and he looked it. How he didn't win at Doncaster last time, I have absolutely no idea. Like, he would win that race 99 times out of 100. He absolutely tanked to the front. I don't know what price he hit in running, but he looked like he was going to win going away. He didn't quite get home for whatever reason, but he's there's nothing untoward about him. Like, he's a proper horse. This is a group horse and a handicap, I'm convinced. It's obviously a competitive race, but I doubt there's a horse in there with the class of Sonny Liston. And yeah, Ryan Moore's back in the saddle, maybe there to right the wrong from Doncaster, who knows. I'm sure he was just as annoyed as I was that he got beat that day, but I really, really like Sonny Liston. I know it's a competitive race, but I'm pretty sweet on his chances.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Liberty Lane, the horse that beat him that day at Doncaster, I think will end up being a group horse as well next season anyway. They drew well clear of the rest. And Ryan Moore, I was there at Doncaster, let me tell you, he wants this ride. He wants to try and get revenge and win a race like this. So he is keen to get this horse a win on Saturday. And I agree with you. I think Sonny Liston might be the bet in here towards the top of the market. But I can imagine, Graham Robway, you might have won at a fair bigger price.
I do. Yeah, I do, Sam. I like David O'Mara in this race. He's won it with Lord Glitters in 2017. He won it last year with Shalir. And both of those horses were prepped up in the same race, the 7 furlong handicap at the track just a couple of weeks ago. And he's got one in here that ran in that same race at the track over 7 furlongs a couple of weeks ago. Blue For You, knockout eye catcher as well in that race. Like, go back and watch it if you can on Racing Post replays. He's stone last, that horse, and he comes through strongly towards the finish. He ran the fastest second last furlong and the fastest last furlong in that race without ever being in contention. He's dropped back to a mark that is, I think, £1 or £2 higher than when he was last successful. Of course, he won a couple of big handicaps last season, didn't he, over a mile. I think we went close at Goodwood. He's got loads of form on soft ground, and it's just an absolute plot job, this Blue For You. Whether it wins or not, we'll see. But this 100% will have been the aim for David O'Mara, and the horses well handicapped, and he ran his best race for ages at the track last time over a trip that doesn't suit him. So I think he'll run huge race. The other one that I've got on my radar is Core Door, I think it's called. Core Door, yeah, for Dermot World's running one, which is quite interesting. He's got a good record at this meeting, Dermot. He don't, like you said earlier, he won't run these horses unless they've got a good chance. And Yeah, Cordor won the BMW handicap at Galway earlier in the season. Didn't stay last time over a mile and a quarter at the Curragh, travelling beautifully through the middle part of that race and then just flattened out. Definitely didn't stay the trip. Coming back down to a mile would suit him. Problem is, he's not really got any form on really testing ground. And when he won the race at Galway, it was yielding to soft and Weld said he was a bit worried about the ground that day. So that is a slight concern. But as you said, Weld won't run unless he thinks that the horse will go through it. So I'm quite strong on Blue for you, Sam, but I'll be back in Cordor as well.
Okay, Blue for you. Go on, Tom,
G-Rod, the draw bias when it's this kind of ground, is it less than when it would be when it's a little bit quicker or...
It's very difficult to know, here, Parky, because usually when it ground comes up soft, you get that big umbrella, you know, the get the big umbrella, the huge stand.
Yes, the umbrella.
It seems to block out the rain, you know, on the near side of the track. So I, on soft ground, I don't know whether it's true or not, but a lot of people tell me that that huge stand acts like a big umbrella and blocks the rain from right on the stand side rail. So that's why high draws are often favoured when it is soft ground on the straight track at Ascot. However, I do remember in fairly recent years at this meeting a few horses winning from sort of stalls 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the other side. And the reason I say it's quite difficult to know here, Parky, is because at the last meeting when they ran here, they sort of tightened the track right up and they make it a very, I think it's only 17 horses across rather than the huge fields that they have in the summer. And they save some ground as a result. And I just don't know what part of the track they save for the fresher ground. I have a feeling that maybe they save the far rail and that just clouds things. So I just think with the draw here, you could end up tying yourself up in knots and you're better off backing the one that you fancy.
Well, it's probably going to be that wet as well. That it's not going to make much of a difference, I don't think, is it? It's going to be wet.
Well,
everywhere.
That umbrella's not that big, Parky.
No. Well, when last time you told me about the umbrella, G Rod, all of the winners, I think the first four home in the handicap pre that day, all came from the stand side. So you got it spot on. So the umbrella that day did work.
The umbrella theory.
The umbrella theory that will live long in the memory. That one. We're going to shortly be getting into our naps for the weekend, but before then, we've got another offer for you. How would you like over £500 in free bets? Here's how. Do you want over £500 in free bets? Well, the best free bet offers are now all in one place. Head to racingpost.com/freebets where you can find all the offers from your favourite bookmakers. Click the link in the description to find out more. Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. You've still got Sam Hart, Graham Robway and Tom Park here just to deliver our naps for the weekend. So we are going to get stuck into the Saturday's action. All of our bets are going to come from Ascot on Saturday. And do you know what? I know what I will go with, but I'm not going to go with it. I'll change it if I need to, because I feel one of you might take it. Parky, I'll start with you. Who's the best bet?
Yeah, I'm glad you've gone to be first, because I think it was going to be first one. Big Rock is the nap. I thought you might have nicked it, but yeah, Big Rock in the 3 or 5 at Ascot. Yeah, the QE2 anyway. Big Rock for me. As we've said, love the ground. This is the trip's ideal for him. He's going to have them all sorts of trouble. Paddington isn't going to be able to go with him. Big Rock is going to win by lengths, Sam.
Well, I really hope so. I really do. Graham Robbo, please don't tell me Big Rock was going to be your nap.
No, it wasn't. I'm going to go for Blue for you in the last, in the 4:25? Yeah, I think he's laid out for this, Blue for you. I think it'd go really well at a good price.
Okay, I'll go with the other French trader, and it's part of the big double. I'll be for Rise and Door then, and the Champion Stakes is my nap on Saturday. So there is our tricks. It's on the screen now. Do have a look at that. I mean, we were meant to build an Each Way Lucky 31, but we might as well have built an Each Way Lucky 63, looking at all that. So do have a flick through the selections. The gent who commented last week, you can have a look through and build a Lucky 63 using those if you wanted to have a multiple for the weekend. I'm going to be at Ascot this weekend. Looking forward to that. It's going to be an excellent day, hoping the weather holds out. Graham Robway, originally the plan was that you would be at Ascot, but I think you told me earlier in the week or last week that you're not going to make it.
No, I won't make it, sadly, Sam. I was looking forward to going, and I had a ticket sorted and everything. But yeah, not going to make it this weekend now. The family commitments have come in the way. But I will get back to the races soon. Don't you worry. I look forward to seeing you there.
Absolutely. Seeing you in the national hunt scene, I'm sure, over the next few months. That's where we're going to be heading, especially with the big jump off coming in, Parky. When do you actually get a rest from the big jump off? When can you finally put your feet up and enjoy yourself?
Sunday afternoon, hopefully. I'm actually going down to down your way, Ryan C, for the week next week to put my feet up, so that'll be nice. But yeah, all hands on deck until then, unfortunately. But fingers crossed, everyone will love the big jump off. So
absolutely. Looking forward to it. Look, if you are, look, Monday, do pick up the paper, get a free copy of the big jump off. Do check out the video and let us know down in the comments on any of these videos. Let us know what you think of the big jump off, because any positive feedback I will send Parky's way. Big thanks to the gents as always. Really enjoy these postcasts. Tom Park, thank you very much, and Graham Robway, thank you very much for this weekend. Hopefully we'll be back, plenty of winners, and you can join us again next weekend where we start previewing Cheltenham here on the Racing Postcast.